Although she would not have cared to share her companion's suffering if she had known of their mental torture, at that moment, Christy would have given anything to have been there rather than where she was. Still paralyzed and numb, she was reliant only on what she could see, hear, and smell, and on the workings of her own mind. Where was this triple crazy stoop taking her? And what did he intend to do with her when they got there? She felt as though she could vomit. The effects of the gas had left her with little strength, and it was only because of the way that the mystery writer had secured her that she could be sure she wouldn't fall off, even if she passed out. And consciousness was flickering in and out as she saw the sunrise. The words the man had spoken to her, and then to the others, whirled around Christy's head, and she tried to understand them. This was a person who had a completely different way of looking at the world. Christy knew that if she were going to survive, if she were going to bide her time until she was in a position to effect an escape, then she would have to understand the way her captor's mind worked. This was crucial to her survival. She wondered, with the last thought before she passed out, if the others would survive long enough to try to follow her. JB felt it first, a tingling at the extremities, spreading with a warmth that soon turned to agonizing cramp. It came to rest in his chest cavity, where it felt as though it had gripped his heart and lungs like a vice at full screw.
Dark night. Mildred! Mildred! Can you hear me?
No!
Easy, Mildred. The pain goes away. Just let it pass.
What the hell did that fucker shoot at us?
I don't know. Some kind of nerve gas. But we're all gonna need your help. Maybe that gas messed us up inside. You're gonna have to check us out.
Jack!
Sounds like Ryan's back to the land of the living.
Ryan, the pain goes away soon. Just let it pass.
He fucking took Christy. He just rode up and shot us to shit and we didn't have a fucking
chance.
I know, Ryan.
We'll get her back, Ryan. Right now, though, Mildred's got to make sure we're all okay. No use going after him if we're fixing to die from this gas.
Even if we were, I'd still go.
I know, Ryan. That's why...
Right now, we need to make sure we're all okay. Jack, you okay?
Fucking pissed. But I'm okay.
Fair enough. How about you, Doc? Doc!
Millie is...
She's not moving. Doc, are you okay? JB, push him on his side.
Push him to his...
Just do it! That's right, Doc. Just let it out.
Thank you kindly. I had awakened to such pain and nausea, like my chest had gone through a mad trance. But I couldn't move.
We all had that pain, Doc. I don't know why it affected you so differently.
Stoop said we'd experience no ill effects. He's using weapons he doesn't even know anything about. Who is this guy?
It doesn't matter. He's gonna be dead soon. They drank to rehydrate, ate something for the salts and sugars they had lost during the paralysis and the rising of the sun. They gathered their thoughts as they recovered. Finally, it was time to make a plan.
So why do you think he took Christy?
I don't know. But he was using language I haven't heard except in pre-dark vids.
Yeah, he's operating on a whole different wavelength than the rest of us. Makes his decisions unpredictable, dangerous.
If I understood our enemy correctly, he thinks that we are his friends, or at least could be. I surmised that his intention is to convert Christy to his cause and use her to persuade us of the rightness of his.
For his cause? Why do you want to do that?
Because, my dear doctor, I fear that, as are so many of us, he may not be exactly of sound mind.
Crazy. No shit.
I think you may have missed my point, dear boy. If he has this one aim in mind, that Christy become converted to his cause in order to convert us, then he will do all within his power to keep her alive and well. It is in his best interests. And, of course, he is unwittingly buying us time to find and destroy him.
I think you might be right, Doc. The question is, how long have we got? And are we in any fit state to fight?
Maybe not now, but we've no injuries to recover. Just the remains of that damn gas to get out of our systems. And that can be happening while we're on his trail.
Besides, he's going to be looking for us sooner or later, right?
Exactly, my dear John Barrymore. The irony is that he has mistaken our pragmatism for a sense of spurious justice and faith in a law that no longer exists. A misunderstanding that will lead him straight back to us. In a sense, we have no need to chase him. He will come to us.
I guess you're right, Doc. But let's give him a little surprise. Let's go after the son of a bitch anyway, and meet him halfway. Unconsciousness had at least given her a respite. To be dragged from it and thrown into a world of pain and confusion was not how Christy would have chosen to have surfaced. She was still on the bike, still secure to the mystery rider, and the wind chill from their speed was freezing bones that only just regained the sense to feel. The cramps that the others had felt on their recovery were intensified for Christy by the weakness she still felt and by her restraints. The agony ripped through her head in a weltering of flashing lights behind her closed eyes, like synapses exploding and splattering her brain against the insides of her skull. She opened her eyes, hoping that light and the sense of where she was would somehow still the waves of nausea that welled up in her throat, pressing against the sore hollow of her breastbone. Her eyes were immediately hit by brilliant sunlight, strobed by the movement of the rider's broad back as it moved on the saddle in front of her. The movement also broke up the wind that whipped over and around the man. He sheltered her from the worst of the buffeting, but this only had the effect of making what did hit her seem all the harder. She knew she was going to vomit. If she did it all over the rider's back, it would stink. Maybe even splash back on her face, which would make her puke some more. Frankly, she doubted that she had the strength in her to heave more than once. She was more likely to choke herself. If she had to go out, she wanted to go out fighting, not choking on her own vomit while she was tied to a captor. She hung her head out to one side, the wind from their speed blowing her hair out behind them like the clouds of dust that rose in their wake. The chill was such that the heat of the sun didn't even register. Christy could have done with some heat at that moment, as a cold shiver swept through her, the sweat on her back like ice. She righted herself, trying to ignore the sour taste and stench of the remnants trailing down her chin. But the cold sweat had passed, and the muscle cramps were subsiding. A little taste and smell she could take for a while. She was weak, like a newborn. But she knew that would pass, and when it did, she'd be ready. She thought of the others, left in the middle of the desert, unable to move. There were so many dangers their attacker had left them open to. It was entirely possible that her companions had not survived the night. Alongside her fear for her friends, Christy's mind registered that her enemy may not be as smart as he thought he was. She knew that, even if her companions had survived and were coming in search of her, for the moment she would have to rely on herself. The mystery rider obviously meant her no harm, quite the opposite, in fact. Though paralyzed, she had definitely felt something in the way he had handled her. The thought made her skin crawl. Best just to play possum, as the old Predark phrase went, and see where the rider was taking her. Only there she could see his strengths, personnel, equipment, tech. She could see just how crazy he was, whether there was anything in his makeup she could use against him. And she could recover her own strength while working out a way to wipe this madman off the face of the earth. An unpleasant, sour odor assailed Thunder Rider. The woman had vomited, a side effect of the gas that the file had not mentioned. He was beginning to wonder how accurate the files were, how much was evidential, how much supposition, and how much was a sin of omission. There was a lesson to be learned here, not to trust the computer systems 100%, but to test equipment more thoroughly before use in the field. There was something good to be drawn from any situation. In the meantime, he had other matters of more immediate importance. He took one hand from the bike's handlebars and flipped down the mic at the side of his goggles.
Thunder Rider reporting in. We are now approximately 15 minutes from the first defense lines.
Please disable as approach registers. Estimated time of arrival at base, 21 minutes. Message ends. The farthest reaches of the border fence were now in sight. The ranch building was nestled in a small man-made valley in the center of the compound. Those who had come before had made it this way. Finding the ranch from the ground without falling foul of the defenses was nearly impossible. Air attack would be dealt with by long-range radar-guided missile defenses. For ground-based assault, proximity sensors were set to trigger fragment grenades. Thunder Rider and his machine were almost as one as he guided it through the boundary defenses. Underground motion sensors would record details on the weight and bulk of any vehicles that came close. From this, the computer would estimate the probability of the grenades alone securing the base. If the calculations proved that the next line of defense was necessary, then digital imaging equipment that was in place in the land surrounding the ranch would kick into operation. Trackers would mark the intruders, and smart missiles would seek and destroy. If by any chance an attacking force should get beyond this, a wall of chemical fire would be triggered. And after that, the ranch house itself was circled at a distance of 500 yards by rapid-fire, automatic, heavy-caliber ordnance. The decrepit ranch house itself was also booby-trapped. After the days following the nuclear winter, those left in the base had decided that the disrepair and damage would act as a diversion. Besides, they had long ago adopted to live below ground rather than try to rebuild on the surface. So the ramshackle house became the perfect disguise for the base, a fortuitous act for which Thunder Rider can only thank those who had come before. To gain access to the base, anyone approaching would have to steer a course between the triggering devices once they were in operation. This was a labyrinthine route that had to be intimately memorized by those who sought to use it. It was of a narrow gauge designed to be negotiated only by the bike. Any larger vehicle, even assuming they should accidentally stumble on the route, would overlap the safety zone and trigger the defenses. Despite the almost non-existent margin for error, Thunder Rider took the route at speed. Such was his confidence. After all, he had been trained from a very young age. He had always been prepared for this moment. The five companions traveled in silence for some time. There was nothing to say, and idle talk would only have cost them energy that they needed to conserve. So they traveled, wrapped in their own thoughts. The horses had been affected by the nerve gas, but had recovered before their human masters. They had been at a greater distance from the point of impact, and by the time the gas had reached the point where they were tethered, its worst effects had been dissipated in the air. The companions could have wished for greater speed, but it was the same old trade-off they had lived with since coming back to this region. They had no real idea of the kind of distances involved in their chase, and they had only limited supplies of food and water. They couldn't expend more energy than absolutely necessary. So it had to be slow and steady, slow and sure. Slow, with nothing to do except dwell on what had happened to them. It could take days to catch up, and perhaps they never would. Ryan's mind went back to the last time they had been in this part of the Deathlands. The time when he had been shot, presumed dead, and the others had been captured. All except Christy, who had evaded capture and had then single-mindedly pursued the man responsible until her actions had resulted not just in his demise, but in the collapse of the plans that had powered the man's existence. Ryan's brow furrowed as he remembered something. Reaching into a pocket in his combat pants, his fingers searched until he found a delicate chain. He extracted it and looked at the locket that dangled from between his fingers. So small and delicate at the end of the chain that it seemed absurd between his scarred and calloused knuckle joints. Christy had given him this locket when she had found that he was alive. It had been given to her in turn by a man who had helped her in her quest. And Ryan fervently hoped that he would be able to give it back to her when they found her alive. She would know they would come looking for her if they could. And the way things look now, Ryan just hoped to hell that she didn't have to rely solely on them. The ruined ranch house showed no indication to Christy of being anything other than that. The rider circled it, almost as if giving her the chance to scout the territory. Parts of the walls had collapsed. The interior floors and ceilings were patchwork constructions, sometimes held together by only one surviving beam. And original decoration and furnishing had long since been stripped bare or reduced to wormwood. a couple of metal objects, corroded and covered by debris until they bore no resemblance to anything she could name, stood out from the sea of trash that littered the ground floor. A staircase stood, half demolished, leading to nowhere. The bottom section seemed to have suffered little damage, suggesting reinforcement. There was a door set into the staircase. Stripped of its wooden facade by time, Christy could see that this bottom section had survived as if it had a concrete surround, the inset door being of steel, showing signs of wear, but no corrosion. No ordinary household metal. It was the briefest of glimpses through a tumble-down wall, but it was enough for her to realize that her suspicions had been correct. There was more to this site than just a ruined pre-dark dwelling, like so many that housed farms and ranches before Skydark. Determined to note every detail, Christy kept herself focused as the man guided his vehicle around the rear of the ranch house and toward what had to have been a barn. It was little more now than a few sticks of wood, marking out an area of dust, slightly different in hue to the land around. A section of soil and sand raised up slowly on hydraulics. It rose at an angle until it was standing about 6 feet off the surface of the ground. Most of the topsoil remained, only some dust falling from the edges, running backward. Perhaps sheer weight kept it in place, as the ascent had been measured. Perhaps it was secured in some way. Whatever it was, Christy could see that something kept it in place, so that the hydraulic platform would descend, with no indication that this piece of land had ever been moved. Beneath the platform, a concrete slope led down into the earth. Lights were inset in the walls, providing illumination that was less than the sun, but still more than enough by which to see your way. The rider guided the bike down the slope and into a tunnel. Christy immediately felt the coolness of an air conditioner hit her, something she had not felt outside the redoubts they had visited. There was something about the quality of the air in these places, a kind of dryness, a lack of any scent or musk that was natural, that maybe the regular inhabitants had never noticed, but was startlingly different and alien to her. She had felt it every time they had landed in a redoubt, and this place was exactly the same. The motorcycle slowed to a glide, taking the curve of the tunnel with ease. It was a shallow incline, but the curve told her that they were circling to go deep without a steep gradient. The rider's base was far below the surface. She tried to work out the circumference of the spiraling circle they were traveling, but she was still too weak and disoriented to get a real impression. She did realize that the deeper they went, the stronger the lighting became. The bike suddenly came out of the mouth of the tunnel and into a long, wide, concrete-lined bunker, lit by fluorescent tube lighting that made her momentarily squint her eyes, preventing her from getting a good look at the surroundings.